Bear Down Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, Shay Norling, who, ladies and gentlemen, if you can't tell from the video, and if you're on the audio side, I'll describe it for you. All in on Caleb Williams as the fingernails are painted, my people.
Let's go, Pat. Navy blue.
Let's get the full zoom in on that. Yeah. Oh, my God.
We had to get it done, man. Caleb Williams comes to town, I'm painting the nails.
I can see the YouTube comments now just floozing and just, please, I can't take it anymore. Where have all the real men gone? Hey, man, yeah. we have so much to get to today. Bears draft. Roma Dunze is a Chicago Bear. We got to look at some of these other teams. I love the chuckle from Ryan Poles yesterday when asked about Michael Penix. So got to talk about that. I mean, so much to get to on day one. Also got to look ahead to day two. All that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast, brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana, Las Vegas style gaming, just 30 minutes from Soldier Field, exit 6, right off of I-80-94. All right, Shay, first things first. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. I mean, the first round, I was expecting a little more chaos, but I think the Michael Penix pick was chaos enough for everything. We didn't need a lot more after the Atlanta Falcons lost their mind. And honestly, I mean, you just look at the way the Bears are building this team. I was on the record. I preferred an edge rusher to a wide receiver in the first round. I thought there was an opportunity to maybe move back a little bit, get some capital, especially when the run on offense was happening. But I also was on the record. Short of like Brock Bowers or drafting a kicker, there's not a lot Poles could have done that would have made me upset. And Roma Dunze, I mean, you're getting an awesome player. You've bolstered the receiving core. There's a lot to be excited about when you look at this football team. So, I'm feeling good. I'm excited this morning.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and that's how the vibe was yesterday at Soldier Field. It was just like, wow, we're putting together an offense. There's a focus on offense, and I think that's really right. When you looked at Roma Dunze, kind of let the people know what you saw when looking at his game, what type of receiver you saw that the Chicago Bears are getting.
I mean, you're going to get a guy who fights through catches and – contests for the football. If he's got a blanket on him, it really doesn't matter. I said the other day, I've been watching this kid, like obviously doing the college football show on the station. I watched a lot of Washington football. They were a great team all year. The Pac-12 was exciting. They seemed to always be on my television on Saturdays. And honestly, Pat, a lot of times I placed wagers against Washington because I didn't believe in their defense. And you know who the asshole was that was ending my bets? It was Rome fucking Adunze. This guy on third and fourth down and gotta have it moments, his hands are glue.
Yeah.
Like if the ball is coming his direction and they need a first down or a touchdown, Rome Adunze was making the play. And they had some other good players. I mean, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan on that team.
Yeah.
Good receivers who could step up and make plays, but it was always Rome shining through. 1600 yards. He's quick off the line of scrimmage. I wouldn't say his release is special, but the way he can fight through and contest for the football and win 50-50 balls, it's as close to Marvin Harrison's ability to do it as there is in this draft.
I think what was interesting when I watched Rome's tape was you kind of saw by ends of games, like at least to me, this was semi-consistent. You'd see DBs backing off. It wasn't always major, but they'd be backing off a little bit. And I'd be like, why are they backing off? There's not this like overwhelming speed that he hits you with. Not that he's slow, right? Not the 6'6", 40 guy telling somebody they're slow. But not that he's slow at all, but
6'6 is pretty good, man. Yeah,
I mean, listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I saw the 40 you dig yesterday on the field, and I was like, I probably could do it. And my hamstring instantly went like, what are you thinking right now?
It's vibrating. Like, don't even think about it.
I was like, I'll stay here. Don't worry about it. To me, how he beat up DBs off of the line.
Yeah.
You would slowly see them start to back up because they were like, I'm tired of him hitting me every single time he's going past. I think that the Bears now have three guys on this wide receiving core who are going to just tire DBs out by forcing them to stand there and take a beating off of the line. We know DJ Moore does a really good job of that. We know Keenan Allen is just going to beat you up as he goes through his route. And now you've got a guy to beat you up off the line in Roma Dunze. I think that it's not even going to be by by the end of games, are we more talented? Do we have the more talented wide receiver core than they have as far as their DB core? But who's going to have more energy by the end of some of these games?
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. Like, people are worried about offensive line. Pat, it was never really an issue for me. And I feel like I've been on an island about it, but people were like, not going to matter how many receivers you get if it's the same turnstiles blocking for Caleb Williams as it was for Justin Fields. And I mean, you and I have had the argument on this show about the sacks being a quarterback stat. I firmly believe that. But also, when you have those three receivers, I mean, everybody references Cincinnati and Joe Burrow and the ascension there. Newsflash, they had the worst offensive line in football and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Why? Because you had Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. You can't cover for 2 seconds, let alone 3, 4, 5. You don't have time to get in the backfield and sack a quarterback if he can get through the reads and make the throws. Everybody's open. Then it feels like that's what the Bears are trying to build here, is a receiving core that is so explosive and so exhausting for a defense that it won't matter if they can't block for a long period of time, if they can't keep Caleb safe for 3.5 or 4 seconds, because the ball's going to be out well before that.
Now, I will say I'm on the opposite side of you with this, where it is where I believe that there is still some offensive line questions, more so because you're bringing in another guard. As far as we know, Ryan Bates is the answer for center right now. Even though we got Coleman Shelton, it's being reported that Ryan Bates seems like he's the number one right now. You're taking another guard and trying to move him over to center. I'm tired of this experiment. Like, let's go get a center. In my mind, I'm all in on trying to acquire a center at some point in this draft. I guess left tackle I can live with. I think that Ryan Poles likes Braxton Jones a heck of a lot more than I do. Braxton Jones didn't allow a ton of PFF numbers that look bad, which is what I say, but I saw him get pushed back a lot. But again, I think Caleb Williams will get the ball out in a timely manner that maybe it makes Braxton Jones look a little bit better because of Justin Fields holding on to the ball at times. But
I
do think
about Braxton too is he'll play snaps. He's played 1,700 snaps in two seasons. Like, that there's a value in having a guy who you just know is going to be there.
Yeah, but we've had bodies, though, dog. Like, I've had bodies that I could throw out there. That doesn't make me feel better about, like the Tevin protection
Jenkins,
of
who everybody. Tevin Jenkins is a talented player, but he's almost never available. Like, Braxton, he's good. I'm not telling you he's an all-pro or a pro bowler. He's a fine player. Like, people make him out to be, like, kind of a turnstile, and I don't really think that's the case either. If I have a guy who can give me 800 snaps a season and be serviceable, I'm okay, as long as I rely on my quarterback. Your point on center is dead on, though, and I have a question for you about it.
Let's do it.
Because I don't want to see another season of the quarterback being a tick late getting to his reads because the snap was bad and you had to adjust and all this stuff. Do you trade up today and try to get Jackson Powers Johnson?
I'll tell you this right now. You can always count on me to put my Powers Johnson on the table. That is exactly what I want to see the Chicago Bears do.
Oh, man.
This is our road to the draft today, brought to you by Toyota. Do you believe that the Chicago Bears should trade up? Let's go places, because I'll be honest with you, right? And Ryan Poles talked about this today. Trading back seems dead out of the equation in any sense, right? PFF had a trade where it's like the Bears trade 75, they get 86, 122. They already have 123. They already have 122. So you're getting all of these picks later. Ryan Poles says, after the fourth round, I'm going to get a lift. So I don't think that we're going to be trading back any picks. I would say if you come out of this draft and you're talking about you made three picks, but one of them is your franchise quarterback, one of them is your probable at some point number one wide receiver, if Roma Dunze is what he's being labeled to be, a Larry Fitzgerald, a Ja'Marr Chase type, as people have put on his name, and you get your starting center for the next 10 years, why am I worried about the third and fourth rounds? Oh, but you don't have an edge rusher. I still have my second round pick for the Carolina Panthers next year. And let's not pretend like we haven't seen Ryan Poles sling second rounders out of here like frisbees and froth.
Well, my point to you was like, look, you're right. Ryan Poles, I think, hates second round picks. Like, this guy's moving them all the time. But you think about the way that this team is built now, where they're in a position where they can be somewhat comfortable with four picks entering a draft. And it feels like that's where we're at. They got 11 picks next year, and this roster's got some talent on it. I don't know that you need 11 picks next season. So if you start thinking about somebody doesn't really want to pick in the second round, or there's a team, I don't know who the team would be, maybe like San Francisco. I'm just making something up. A team that's got a lot of talent present, doesn't need to make a bunch of picks. Could you entice them with, here's the pick from Carolina next year plus other stuff, let us into the second round? And that could be where you find your center, and you then end up making five picks. You're still done by the fourth round. Go get your nails done.
Oh, so you're saying move next year's capital to get back into this year's draft. Yeah. I wouldn't be mad at that either. I played out that scenario, and I'm fine with it. I said when it was, I think I did a couple of mocks where it was Carolina at the top, and I was like, I know this will never happen because they'll never trade with us again. But, you know, I'll give you my entire second round to move back into this year's second round, because especially because of what transpired on day one. You didn't get a defensive pick until pick 15, I believe.
Yeah.
There's so many players that we thought were going late first round that are on the board. So if you want to go get center, if you want to attack the defense, I think there's so much talent on the board that you almost have to trade up. I would rather you start off with saying, listen, I got a third rounder and a fourth rounder this year, and I'll give you a third rounder for next year, or I'll give you our second rounder for next year, not the Carolina one. Let us get back into this second round here. When you talk about the fact that, I know we've got enough DBs, but do you really ever have enough DBs? Cooper DeJean is still on the board. When you're talking about the fact that Jerzon Newton is still on the board, the premier three technique of this draft is still on the board, the linchpin of the defense that you're playing right now, how do you not look at this second round and say, we got to find a way to get back into it?
I mean, you think about, like you mentioned Cooper DeJean, who it probably depends how you feel about Velus Jones, because I think Cooper DeJean's value on this team would be primarily in the return game, given the corners that they already have. But when you think like Jackson Powers Johnson, a guy people thought would go maybe in the first round and the Bears would be trading back into the 20s to be able to get him. Or a guy you mentioned, Jerzon Newton. We know Matt Eberflus wants that three technique to be the engine of his defense. That was an expected first round pick. He didn't go yesterday. I think if you're Ryan Poles, you're sitting there and going, I got 11 picks next year, and kind of a rare opportunity where a bunch of first round talent players fell into the second round because of the offensive run. Why am I not going to take advantage of this?
Yeah.
And so if I'm Ryan Poles, I'm like, the 11 picks next year, F them. I don't need them. I'm going to send a few of them to somebody just to let me make a pick in the second round. Yeah. I don't know that I'm moving up from 75. I don't know that I want to trade a pick this year because you still only have the four. But if I can navigate through the 11 next season and move future picks to get back in this second round, dude, I'd do it. I think that this is a very special second round.
Yeah, it turned into it because of a very interesting first round. I mean, shout out. Listen, we got to send a thank you to Lovie Smith for our first round pick this year. We got to send a thank you to Ryan Pace for for Michael Penix at 8, dog. Like, that's got to be the answer, right? You're telling me a top 30 visit never happened. We're picking this guy based on a 45-minute pro day workout. That's what we're picking him on. Got to be Ryan Pace. That's the only way that the draft falls this way.
It's either that or Terry Fontenot licked a frog and then went onto the stage. Like, I don't get it. Pat, I don't want to hijack this topic, but like,
let's do it.
You think about what they did yesterday. And I'm not even, this has nothing to do with how I feel about Michael Penix, who I think if he's healthy and can stay healthy, could be a good player.
I think if he's healthy, he's the second best quarterback in this draft.
Potentially, sure. Yeah. Like, I like Drake May better in any scenario, but I feel like Michael Penix is up there. I certainly like them better than Jaden Daniels, who I absolutely hate. But anyway, whether he becomes good or not, what the fuck is your process as an organization? If I were a Falcons fan, I would be breaking my windows out of my house. This is absurd. You just went out and signed Kirk Cousins on a big money 4-year deal, right? He's going to be the franchise QB for the foreseeable future. We got a win now roster. We're ready to go. Desmond Ridder was a mistake. Let's not fuck this up again. Here's Kirk Cousins. We paid you. You're happy. Good. Let's do it. And then you don't host this kid Penix on a 30 visit. You don't tell anybody in the league. There's no smoke at all that this is going to happen. Nobody thinks it's even a reasonable possibility. You likely could have moved back, maybe not super far, but could you gotten to 11 and gone and gotten your quarterback? Like, would the Vikings have been a little motivated to push up to 8, get JJ? Maybe you get an extra pick back. You get a little capital. no, let's just lick a frog and trip acid, and we'll go out and pick Michael Penix 8. Oh, now the franchise QB you signed in the offseason is pissed because he didn't know this was happening, and he feels like he's getting pressed. Now you've got a kid, Terry Fontenot, after the draft. Well, if we don't have to play him for 4 or 5 years, that's a good thing because it means we're doing great at the position. Actually, dummy, it means that you burned the number 8 pick in the draft on a win-now roster on a guy you're not going to play until his rookie extension kicks in. Are you out of your mind? It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. There's no process where that works. It's unbelievable. You have a win-now roster and the 8th pick in the draft and a franchise QB you just paid, and you take a quarterback? You got to be stupid.
And my favorite part about all of it is when they go into the post-game press conference or post-draft press conference, everybody's like, why? Why? And he goes, well, we've seen this work with the Packers model, so we hope that it works for us here. You didn't have to take everything from the Packers model. You didn't have to take the disgruntled quarterback beforehand that's pissed that you didn't go in the first round and get him anything with a top 10 pick that's going to help him. My God, I would have accepted Brock Bowers at 8. I know they got Kyle Pitts, but I'd have accepted Brock Bowers at 8 and been like, all right, you're trying to help Kirk Cousins out. Not only do you select a quarterback that doesn't help him, you also go out there and basically screw him over because you got him nothing else to help him with this team. Defense that, yes, is a good defense, but would have been a much better defense if Dallas Turner's on that team. Heck, if Latu Latu's on that team, like, you could have gone anywhere with this. You went quarterback. My favorite thing about this is when they ask Ryan Poles in the press conference, he just chuckles. It's like, what'd you think about Atlanta taking Penny? It's just a, wow. Yeah, I mean, like literally, he was in the draft room, like, that guy's not going to be employed in 3 years. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, that guy might not be employed in 1 year. Did you see the conversation between him and his owner in the war room? This guy's panicking, talking to Arthur Blank about why he did this. He looked like he was terrified he was about to wear a professional bullet. Like, I don't know how long this is going to last. This Atlanta thing, it's such a trip. It makes no sense to me. But God bless him. And the Bears get Roma Dunze out of it.
I knew he was going to be off the board. I absolutely knew there was no way we were leaving this draft with Rome when I saw Atlanta. When I saw, you're right, Joe Alt and everybody off of the board, I was like, there's enough receivers off. There's enough quarterbacks off. This is probably gone. Speaking of quarterbacks, I got a sidebar here. May I approach? I know that's not our thing, but might as well.
Absolutely.
My dad, with the call of the year at 9 o'clock yesterday morning, my dad calls me on the phone and he said the Bears are going to get Rome because there's going to be 6 quarterbacks taken off the board. I would prefer they trade back, but there will be 6 quarterbacks off the board by 13. I said, you're out of your mind. Nobody would take Michael Penix that high. I don't know if JJ McCarthy stays in the top 10. Like, there's no way we see 6 quarterbacks go off the board. By the time the 6th one came off, I just texted him. I was like, I'll never doubt you again.
Yeah, my God. What, Pops have inside info?
That's Pops what I said. I was like, you got sources? Like, what are you?
Holy cow. Dude, I was stunned. I mean, seeing 6 in the top 12, and like I said all offseason, I felt like this was one of the strongest quarterback draft classes we have ever seen, but I would have never predicted 6 in the top 12. I thought at most 5 because I figured Denver might panic pick Bo Nix, and they did that anyway, but I didn't see Penix going 8. And with a twice reconstructed knee being 24 years old, I didn't know if he was going to be in the first round.
Me too. That's exactly what I said. I was like, I would. And listen, I'm doing it. I literally said on the phone, I hope you're right, because if a team takes Michael Penix in the first round, I will laugh. And we're all sitting here laughing. Now, we're laughing more because of the Atlanta situation than Penix going first round. But my God, just, it's nice not to be the joke of an organization coming out of the draft. And that's what it feels like Atlanta is right now.
For sure. I mean, it's them or the New York Giants, right? Because the Giants did the same thing they always do. Quarterbacks on the board. Eh, screw it. We'll take a skill position, non-premium player. Like Malik Nabers, I think himself. Could be awesome. But who's throwing him the ball? You got Daniel Jones still on the roster. You had the sixth pick in the draft and no quarterback. You could have had Penix. You could have had Nix. You could have had McCarthy. You got Malik Nabers. And now all those quarterbacks are gone. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Like the Giants and the Falcons, what a joke.
Hey, listen, do the maybe the Giants had some insight. Do they now try to trade for Kirk Cousins to get him out of there?
Like, we're going to save you, Kirk. Here's your life raft. They're going to end up with Spencer Rattler, and they're going to like it.
Oh, God, please. No. Well, it doesn't bother me. Let me ask you this as we keep this thing moving along. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. That was our Road to the Draft brought to you by Toyota. Let's go places. One of the major questions that was around the Bears in this first round was, should they trade back? I know Rome Odunze is on the roster now. We're all excited. But as you saw the defensive players fall, and they were there for you to pick, do you think that the Bears made the right call standing pat at 9? I love going all offense in the first round. I love that the Bears made that decision. But there were options for you to add that bookend to Montez Sweat, who I was standing next to when Penix got drafted, and he just turned to me. I said, they just drafted Michael Penix. And Montez looked at me, he was like, what'd you just say? So all the edges are on the board. I think we know who he may have wanted. What are your thoughts on the Bears standing pat at 9?
Yeah, I mean, it's not what I would have done personally. Like, I don't think I would have taken Dallas Turner at 9 either. I probably would have found a way to trade that pick, move down a little bit and try to get Jared Verse someplace, get a bonus pick, especially with the way talent fell into the second round. I think hindsight's 2020 a little bit,
yeah.
But this answer sucks because it's kind of a non-opinion. There wasn't a wrong call here. Like, again, as long as you don't pick a kicker,
running I think back. You're
going to come away from this okay. And I don't have any issue with them taking Rome Odunze, especially not when we see what Amon-Ra St. Brown's getting paid. Because DJ Moore, if he has a year like he did last year, he's going to eat $32 million a year maybe. You're going to look at down the road with Rome Odunze, but that doesn't matter right now. And as much as I'm like wide receivers come available every season, I was a guy who was like, look, Dallas might not pay CeeDee Lamb. He might be available. Like, we just saw Stephon Diggs get moved. We've seen Devontae Adams get moved. We saw Keenan Allen get moved. CeeDee might be available. And then Amon-Ra gets paid $30 million, and I'm like, CeeDee's contract might be $40 million a year. I'm less invested in making that move after seeing what that money's going to be like. So I get the prerogative of addressing it now, giving yourself the fifth year, having a little protection. You can pay DJ, have a cheaper option at wide receiver two going forward with Rome Odunze. It's hard to hate it. It's hard to say really anything negative about it. It's not what I personally would have done because I liked edge rusher better.
Yeah.
But I don't hate it at all. I think it was a good call.
Yeah. I love the fact that we went all offense. I think that it shows a difference. This feels like a change in the Chicago Bears philosophy. And I love what Ryan Poles said yesterday, where he was like, listen, I love our history, but I'm done talking about our history. That's not what this team is anymore. And it actually feels like we've heard people say that before, right? Like, yeah, we've never gotten the quarterback right in the past, but we've got it right now. And then he goes and gets Mitch Trubisky. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't help us when you also don't help the quarterback. Ryan Poles assessed this situation, said, I'm going to go get me a rookie quarterback. But on top of that, I'm going to make it hard for him to fail. It's not going to be hard for him to succeed. It's going to be difficult for him to fail. Everywhere he looks, he's going to have an option to throw the football to. Heck, at this point, I bet you could put Darnell Wright back there and he'd be able to squeak out a couple of yards for you, a la fridge style on this thing. Like, I mean, like, there's so much on this team offensively. And you've given, again, right, like, I'll say this even to throw Shane Waldron a little bit of a because he's been criticized as a guy who, yeah, he develops the quarterbacks, but doesn't always use the offense the right way. What's the wrong way to use this offense? What's the way to use this offense that it just like in a West Coast scheme that you're like, yeah, I don't know how he's going to figure this out. Like, we've had so many offensive coordinators that it's like, well, he's working with one wide receiver, guys. Like, what do you expect from him? The guy on the other side can't catch. That's not the case here for Shane Waldron. He's coming into it with a bevy of options.
and we know they're going to throw the football, and know they have reliable pass catchers. And look, like my one worry, I don't want to get too geeky. Like, I know this, I don't want to nerd out over how I would like them to run the offense.
It's a football podcast. Let's do it.
Caleb Williams, the dude who like exclusively played out of the shotgun in college, just put him in the shotgun.
Yeah.
And if you got to run like an Eagles, I think Eagles were like 80% shotgun, something like that. If you got to run that RPO kind of mesh option, make things a little easier for Caleb looking down the field, do it. You have so many weapons that you can have DeAndre Swift in the backfield as a run pass option. You can have all of these things out of the shotgun. And instead of asking Caleb to do things he really hasn't done in college and getting that kind of traditional under center, single back, I form, meat and potatoes football, we can run the shotgun and modernize this sucker and air the football out. And that's what I want to see a lot of. Caleb's not as good of a runner as Jalen Hurts, I don't think. So maybe that won't be as utilized, but I think he's a better passer. So yeah. I'm all in on it. Like, I think that's the kind of offense I want to see, is like a high-flying shotgun-style air raid.
See, the only thing that I think makes that tough in the NFL is they also run so many plays out of shotgun for run plays. And in the NFL, you run shotgun run plays. All right, you're starting 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You better figure out how to be able to absolutely put together a great blocking scheme to run the football. I do think that he needs to be under center. I don't think that you have to force it, though, right? Slowly ease him into it. That could be something that by the end of the year, you're seeing him spend a ton of time under center. But I do think that you need to run it moderately.
It's kind of as football modernizes, like college quarterbacks don't play under center anymore.
Yeah.
And that's across the board. Drake May didn't do a ton of it. The one that sticks out, I think Brock Purdy did a little bit at Iowa State and J.J. McCarthy at Michigan, but that's because J.J. McCarthy was handing the ball off all the time. Yeah. Like, the college offense has become a shotgun offense. And I think like the cutting edge teams, and the Eagles are a good example, because I do feel like, even though Sirianni might be a bum, they are always on the forefront and developing the new thing. Shane Steichen, when he was there, was brilliant. And what we saw him get out of Gardner Minshew, and certainly Anthony Richardson early in the season, I feel like he's one of the really modern minds that's evolving what offense looks like. And I'd like to see a little bit of that in Chicago. I mean, the quarterbacks coming out are comfortable doing what they did, and we're starting to see it pervade into the NFL game. If it's 60% shotgun and 40% under center, I'm fine with it. If it's 70%, I'm fine with it. And if you throw the ball 70% of the time, which is kind of Shane Waldron's MO, I'm fine with it.
Only thing I don't want is what we saw, right? Where you get a predictable offense where anytime you're under center, they're like, and we don't have, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe Roshan turns into our power back, but we really don't have a power back there. We got speed guys. We got guys that can get to the outside. I don't want it to be where, oh, he's under center, they're running it, everybody get up on the line, they're running the football here. And I'd say you can't still do things with that. We know Shane Waldron will run play action, stuff like that. But I just don't want this Bears offense to become predictable. 60-40, I probably could live with, though. 60-40 still has you on your heels enough where you're like, okay, it's not 40% of the time. Because I keep telling y'all that Shane Waldron's not running the football 40% of the time. No. DeAndre Swift is here to catch. People are like, you got three running backs back there, you got to run the football, you paid him $7 million. He's a fifth receiver, guys. He's gonna leave this season with 500 plus receiving yards.
I don't want to run the ball either, man. Like, you have to. I think it's important. The Lions, obviously, last year, kind of throwback football, five studs on the O-line, and we're just gonna pound it down your throat. But this team's not going to be built that way, and I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, they were pretty good in run blocking a year ago. They'll be able to run the football. Khalil Herbert, I like better than most, but this is going to be a pass-heavy offense, and I'm excited about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, let's get back to the draft. Let's talk about day two a little bit before we get up out of here. I appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Let's say nothing happens, right? We're talking about trading up. Do the Bears trade up? Should they package these picks? Should they get back into the second? There's so much talent. Let's say Ryan Poles is comfortable sitting at 75 and letting a lot of those picks come off the board. What position would you want to target at 75? And who do you think will still be available that late in the draft?
A lot of mocks, like asking me who's going to be available, I might as well have a crystal ball. Who knows?
Like, yeah, we don't know anything with Michael Penix going as early as he did now.
Peter Schrager had the best mock draft I saw, and it was like 13 direct hits. If you can tell me who's going to be available for the Bears at 75, I also want you to play my lottery numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen a lot of mocks. Blake Fisher, the tackle out of Notre Dame. I don't know if they're going to double up at right tackle, but I think he'll be available in the third round, pick 75-ish. Wide receiver, we're good. So I would start looking edge rusher or defensive interior, but I don't know. Like, are you going to get a great player there? I don't know. Tavondre Sweat had a horrible RAS score and then got a DUI. I don't know that Poles is going to be super excited to get him. But that's the kind of player you're going to be looking at when you get later in the draft. I would like defense. Like, I just think that we have addressed enough offensively. It's time to flip to the other side of the football and try to, like, build a complete team instead of just a complete offense. So I would like edge rusher, defensive interior, but I'm not going to pretend to know which guys are going to be available at pick 75 and if they'll be any good.
Yeah.
Once you get there, you're kind of in the who knows territory.
I'll tell you one name that sticks out to me, and this will make Danny Zetterman, our head of content,
I know where you're
very excited. If you're going to go edge, dog, got to go with the Jayhawk, man. What's Austin Booker doing? And I think he will be available down there at 75. He looks like an absolute monster to me. I love how he gets off of the line. Man, I love how he gets off the line. I love the fact, of course, got to the quarterback 9 times last season. I just think that he is somebody who, if you put him opposite of Montez Sweat, with the focus not being solely on him, he'll be able to start off the season very, very aggressively. And then as guys kind of switch over and say, maybe we should block this guy, then all of a sudden you start to see, okay, now we've got options here. Now, I think he's a player who you have to be 100% sure that Jervon Dexter's going to hit, because that pressure up the middle is going to mean so much to his development as well. But if you're going to let a Jerzon Newton go past, I don't think you could do better at 75 than Austin Booker right now.
Well, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I'm with you. Austin Booker jumps off the tape when you watch Kansas football. He's in the backfield in a hurry. He's a pressure guy, hits quarterbacks. I just like the, if you're going to get a defensive tackle,
yeah,
I'm kind of with you in like, go up and get Jerzon Newton. Otherwise, yeah, Don't do it. Because if we're going to go, what would it be, 3 straight seasons of mid-round picks on defensive tackles that are maybes, I'm good. So yeah, addressing edge with a guy who you're going to control for 4 years, I'm happy with. I got it to the one thing I don't want to do, and I keep seeing people say it. Well, you could just find another Yannick Ngakoue type in the offseason. I'm like, well, that was fine last offseason. But now you're much further along. I would like a player who I know is going to be my edge rusher for the future. And I don't want to have to wait till the first round next year, because what if the guy's not there?
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. If worst comes to worst and Ryan Poles wants to go all offense, maybe he looks at one of the project tackles down there, which we know he's prone to do. He likes his projects, Dominic Robinson. He likes his projects when he's making some of these third and fourth round picks, Valus Jones.
Those projects are those like glue stick houses your third grader makes.
I mean, I guess in theory, that's still a project. They had to try and build something. Like, it kind of worked.
It's like a tongue depressor cottage made out of glue sticks. You got little cotton balls in it. That's the project.
But you're hoping you get that one kid that like builds the Tom Brady mansion out of it. It's like, how the heck did you do this? Oh, my dad's an engineer. Wait a minute. What?
You give this kid tongue depressors, he comes back with the Sistine Chapel. We just haven't really seen it quite yet, but we can hope.
What's on the inside there? That's balsa wood. Oh, big wood guy. Okay. All right. Shout out to you. But no, I just think that if you look in those later rounds, right, if you want to go with somebody like a Patrick Paul, right, who to me is just a mammoth of a human being.
Yeah.
And on the left side, you say maybe he's Braxton Jones' replacement. I guess I'm not mad at that, but I'm to a point now where it's like, let's get the impact pieces. Let's stack up these blue chip pieces, man. Why are we waiting until the third round? Why are we waiting until the fourth round for maybes when I know there's answers here in this second?
You know, the other thing too is like, as much as I want to go, I'm into this player, I'm not going to wed myself to a prospect in the third round and then Ryan Poles picks somebody else. And then I'm like, well, I wanted this guy. It doesn't matter. Like, yeah. Pat, last year was a good learning experience for me because when they selected Tyrique Stevenson, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. The secondary is the strength of the team, and I get strength on strength, but we got holes, man. We're doing another corner, and yeah. then Tyrique Stevenson develops into this, like, incredible cornerback. What am I going to do, bitch, that they picked the name I didn't really want in the third round?
Yeah.
At this point, I kind of just have to go, Poles, cook, do what you got to do, and if it works, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, everybody has some misses. As long as Caleb and Rome work, and if you move up into the second round and get one of these guys that's kind of fallen, I'm going to be ecstatic.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the bottom line with all of this, right? Like, you're day two and day three. Not to say they're not important. You can find depth pieces. You can find pieces. I mean, you can find stars in the third and fourth round. Let's not pretend like we haven't seen that as well. So I would hope that they've done their due diligence scouting. But the stars that have to be stars are the first two names. You cannot come out of this draft and go, I don't know about this Rome guy. We can't be going into next season like, I don't know, man. Maybe it's because he was behind Keenan Allen and DJ Moore that he just wasn't able to really flourish this season. Like, you have to know that your number one pick and your number nine pick hit this year. And I think that you got two names. I'll tell you this. This is definitely Ryan Poles' best chance at getting a receiver that's going to hit. Because Tyler Scott and Velus Jones to this point have been massive question marks. And the other two that he's found, he's traded for. So we'll see what the Bears end up doing here. Shay, anything else that you want to see in day two and day three?
No, but I want to ask you a question about Rome.
Let's do it.
Because I think the comp for the player, right, coming in as a wide receiver three, first round pick, wide receiver in the draft, you're Jaxon Smith-Njigba. You're going to be the third wide receiver on the depth chart. He was behind DK Metcalf and Lockett in Seattle. 63 catches, 628 yards, 4 tutties last year. If Rome has that line, are you happy?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's kind of what you expect here because there is still a veteran respect factor that you have to go through, right?
And frankly, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are better players than Rome Odunze right now.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
And you know what's going to happen, right? It's not going to be that Rome is underutilized, but it's going to be that, listen, Rome, you're going to get catches that you wouldn't have gotten if you went to a different team. You're going to get those big catches. You're going to have, I would expect Rome Odunze's average catch yards per catch to be somewhere around 15 this season because everybody's going to be like, we got to worry about DJ Cole, Keenan Allen. We got to worry about Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift. Where the heck's Rome Odunze going? How did he get the ball? Like,
They're going to be throwing so much extra personnel on the field. Imagine empty backfield sets where you got Cole and Gerald Everett on the field at the same time as the three receivers. How do you cover that?
The hope is you don't. The hope is that you don't. And so I think, yes, Rome Odunze having a stat line similar to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, I'm not mad at that at all. I think that is that's a great rookie stat line. And you just hope that you continue to build on that. That's one of those stat lines where you come out of it and go, all right, maybe we can negotiate a little differently with Keenan here. Maybe we don't have to sit here and go, okay, we got to pay you big money for a couple of years because we're not fully ready to go all in on Rome Odunze. And not to say you don't try to extend Keenan Allen, but let's not pretend like the Rome Odunze move isn't about what Ryan Poles has been all about, flexibility. There's flexibility. Like, does it suck if Keenan Allen leaves and you gave away a fourth-round pick for Keenan Allen? Yeah, a little bit, but you also had another fourth-round pick. You got a year out of Keenan Allen, and you hope that a young wide receiver that is here develops while he's on this team. I'm not mad at that. I'm not going into next year's draft like, but we gave a fourth for him. How do we not pay him?
Well, and if the process is Keenan Allen being here helps your quarterback grow, then you don't have to win a Super Bowl with him for him to be valuable.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, that's what he went through with Justin Herbert, right? Like the ultimate safety blanket.
Yep.
That's what you want to see, and that's what you love about Keenan Allen. I do hope that he's here for some years to come. I'd say at least, you know, for a fourth-round pick, give me a couple of years. But I also can't be mad at the fact that Ryan Poles has, again, created flexibility at another position, has created options at another position where if you get to the end of the year and you say, Keenan, we appreciate you playing the work version of our game, go get your bag somewhere else, and we'll see you on the other side, because we just had this guy go for 700 yards, 4 or 5 touchdowns, and a great yards after catch, what am I upset about? Again, I just, how would you grade the job Ryan Poles has done this offseason? That with 1-9 on the board, those are the ones we care about, right? 3rd and 3rd round, 4th round, we'll be we'll be like, all right, cool. Like, if it hits, he had a phenomenal offseason. But how would you grade the job that this offseason has been for Ryan Poles?
I'd give him an A. I don't have any choice but to give him an A. If I don't, I'm nitpicking. That's just how I feel about it. Like, there are things that I would have done a little differently. The offensive line approach, I don't love. I think you're just getting a lot of bodies that are going to fill in minor roles, and you're hoping that one of them hits as a center. You got to address that. But so far, like, I have to expect that those things will come down the road. And with what he's done to this point, the Keenan Allen deal, I liked. Like, free agency, I was nervous about when it was happening. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to, like, ball wash their free agency. I don't think it was perfect. I think it could have been better. Like, I would have loved to have gotten Christian Wilkins. I would have loved to have gotten Danielle Hunter. I would have loved to have gotten Andrew Van Ginkle.
Yeah.
But we didn't. And you end up with Keenan Allen. And there's a clear process of building around this young quarterback with the intent of him hitting the ground running. As far as whether that's the right process or not, remain to be seen. But he's clearly wedded to it. And I kind of like the way he's going about it. So I'd say an A.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I think that it's a clear cut. He says he doesn't want to talk about the history, but I think he clearly has to understand the history.
Yeah,
and that's how it feels to me. Like, he looks at the history and he's like, well, no wonder you guys never developed a quarterback. You never freaking put an offensive line in front of him. Like, I asked Jeff Joniak last night and Thayer. And I was on a stage with him. They were like, what do you want to do? And I was like, give me a left tackle. Like, when you talk about our premier offensive line positions, you're talking about like 15, 20 years in between the last time we had good ones. Like, I was like, when's our last great center?
Olin.
Like, Cody was nice. He was a good center, but like a great center. Olin Cruz. When's our last great tackle? All right, let's go all the way back to the Super Bowl years. Like, yeah. That's a problem. There's no way you can develop a quarterback without that. And Ryan Poles understands that. So I think you do have to take some of the history into account. I'm fine with you being done talking about it, because for the first time in Chicago, it feels like somebody learned from it. Everybody else just came and was like, give him a wide receiver.
Just real quick on the point about tackle, because I've always thought this too, like, Darnell Wright was really good last year.
Yes.
There's a very good chance that he could be great. And if he ends up being great, you're not going to pay him a huge contract like Penei Sewell just got in Detroit to play right tackle. You're not. You're going to kick him to the left side, and then you'll probably draft another right tackle.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is – you're going through the Lions process with Penei Sewell, with Darnell Wright. You just don't have Taylor Decker already there.
Yeah.
So Darnell Wright's playing right tackle right now, and if he's great, you're going to pay him a lot of money and move him to the blind side. That's the way that's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, Penei Sewell's not getting paid all that money in Detroit to be their right tackle of the future. He's going to take Taylor Decker's job. And then you get a right tackle. I feel like it's the same approach I had at edge rusher. You get a guy to play the other side off of Montez Sweat. In 5 years, when Montez Sweat's money's up, you flip him to Montez Sweat's side.
You get
another guy to play the other side. I think that's kind of a cyclical way of the NFL working when you find really good players.
But you know what? I think here's the thing. If you can find great there, why worry about moving them? You know what I mean? And yeah, I understand you don't want to pay huge money to a right tackle, but I'm all about great. My dream scenario for the Bears is Tevin Jenkins moving back to right guard. Remember that last season? That was great. Yeah. Nate Davis on the right side's good, right? Like, when he's out there, he's all right. You know what I mean? He clearly could play right guard. He's better in pass pro than run pro. But all right, fine, whatever. He's over. But when Tevin Jenkins was on the right side, you had a road grader. You had a monster. Like, I would be, if anything, I'm coming into this season like, all right, listen. If we can teach Brett, can we like work Braxton into like some left guard reps? Can we try to get him like maybe moved inside at some point in the near future so that we can get our premier left tackle? Because what's happening on the right side is great. Like, when they were running the football to the right with Tevin Jenkins and Darnell right there, people were scared. I was seeing people duck out of the way, trying to get out of the way of the pancakes that were coming their way. I thought it was a trip to IHOP out here. You know what I mean? So, like, I want to see great on this team. I think Ryan Poles saw that. I don't think that he's tied to you have to be able to move one spot or the other for me to pay you. I do think he has positional values, but yeah. I also think there's something to I'm willing to pay a guy that I drafted more than I'm willing to pay a guy that was here on a previous regime, right? When Braxton Jones is, or not with Braxton Jones, when Tevin Jenkins is up, there's going to be some question marks. Yeah, he's a great left guard right now, but is he going to be healthy this season? Yeah. He hasn't been healthy most of the time. If this is his healthy season, well, he finally had a healthy season. Like, is this the healthy season that we're going to get out of him? I've said this many times, and I love both of the players. It has nothing to do with talent, but Tevin Jenkins reminds me so much of Kyle Long. Kyle Long was a monster here. He was an absolute beast on the offensive line for the Chicago Bears, but he wasn't out there a ton. You know what I mean? Like, that scares me with Tevin Jenkins. And so I think that you're trying to find most comfortable spot, best spot, and you're willing to pay for that. And I think Ryan Poles has been willing to pay for that through at least the first 3 years here.
Yeah, man. I mean, you just hope it all works out. You hope you get the good players. Yeah. And it feels like you have. And I like the way Ryan Poles is committed to the kids that he's picked. You can see it with Jervon Dexter. You can see it with Braxton Jones. I feel like it's going to be that way with Darnell Wright. I'm not saying what Ryan Poles will do. I'm just saying how I would approach it.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. It's just I like the way he's building this team.
You're a little nervous in the NFC North right now. You are a resident. You cover the Chicago Bears, but you are a resident Lions fan here on the station.
No. I have family who are Lions fans, and I support them. My quarterback is Drake May.
Okay.
My quarterback is Drake May. And you know what, man? You know what? I got one last thing for Bears Nation. I love y'all. I got to tell you this. This is a totally personal thing. As an aside, I've been spending weeks saying I had a prayer circle next to my bed, Drake May's photo in the middle, and I pray to it every night before I go to sleep. And that was going to manifest to Drake May to New England. And yesterday when it happened, I got so many messages from so many Bears fans who listen to the morning show, just like, dude, that's awesome for you. I was cheering for this. I was rooting for this. This is a personal thank you from me for welcoming me to this town, letting me talk about your team and cover your team and being along for my ride, because that was fucking cool. I was a big, big appreciator of fans coming out to be like, that's awesome for you. I thought the moment, Pat, for Bears fans yesterday, having been here for 4 years, Bears fans are some of the best football fans in the world.
Yeah.
And you guys deserved the living shit out of that moment yesterday. I am so happy for Bears fans to finally have this moment. Caleb Williams is a Bear.
Bro, I love it. I love it. I'm so excited. Put the fingernails out. Put the fingernails out, dog.
Let's go.
Let's go, dog. I'm so excited. I'm not gonna lie. And it is going to be a journey. It is gonna be a ride. And I'm not gonna lie to you. When he screamed coming out of the thing I love about this kid the most, there's a confidence in him that I've never seen from a court. I'm gonna be honest with you. There's not many quarterbacks that come out this confident, that come out this strong. And I know number one overall pick, stuff like that, but like, bro, he's being a kid. Yep. He's out there throwing the football with sketch and speed. He's out there having a good time. He's playing around with Roma Dunze. He's just enjoying dog. Like, I'm more bought in on the fact that this guy's so confident that he's like, I don't have to do the quarterback persona thing. That's what I love.
Like, people say he's like cocky or egotistical or like all these different
things. Give me all that.
He is, but I also think he's just a guy. He's like, I know I'm the shit and I'm just going to enjoy my life.
And that is what Bears fans should be excited about. When he's like, just sitting there, just like, oh man, I'm having a good time. What's going on? He runs in the crowd. He's taking selfies with Bears fans. He knows what he's doing. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
And he's all ball, and that's what they need.
That's what we need. Appreciate you popping on as always, Shay. Appreciate Bears fans, all the Bears fans who showed love yesterday. Yesterday was amazing, man. I know there's a lot of people in the comments who are just like, oh, this guy, Pat, why has he got a job? I mean, that's how it goes. But nobody walked up to me yesterday and said that. It was good to see a lot of people at Soldier Field. So had a lot of fun with you guys. and had a lot of fun talking ball with you all day. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love every single day. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Draft day vlog should be dropping today as well. So tap in with us for the draft day vlog. We talked to Tremaine Edmonds. We talked to Jaquan Brisker. What else did I talk to Cap in there? So tap in for that. Me and Cap having a conversation. Always a good time. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. For Shea Norling, I'm Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bad Don. One love. Peace.